The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Sunday Podcast. We are brought to you guys by sportshoes.com as always. Elise Cranny on the pod today. Matt sat down with her a couple weeks ago now. Obviously, first US athlete to join M11, and a nice sign that the UK groups are really growing towards that professional scene that we've seen in the US over many years. Before we get into that though, mate, how are you? And let's talk about some results over the past couple of days.
What results? I'm very well, thanks, mate. What results do you want to talk about? You want to talk about drug test results, John Career failing a drugs test? You know, he was the guy, by the way, who just finished ahead of Paddy Deaver in the New York Marathon. So that's a shame for Paddy. And I hope maybe he can get bumped up to third, given it was just a few months ago. So what is that, 20% of the banned list are Kenyan at the moment? But I guess that was a topic which will come and go like they always do. But yeah, I obviously was commentating on BMC last week and some good performances, none other than the Higgins brothers back at 339, and you know, starting to think what are their chances of qualifying for the world indoors. Can they go and get that 336 standard? Time will tell.
Yeah, don't think they're doing it in Sheffield, so they're gonna have to go somewhere. But no, mate, I admire. We obviously been chatting about Kohaka last night and just looking through and looking at some of the names he's put himself around. I know obviously a 2000 indoors isn't run much. When it has been run, it's some pretty big names that have run quick. Obviously Bikili 449 and Hocker around 452 last night, puts him fifth all time, American record, over in Virginia.
Yeah, and I wonder if he's, you know, if he fancies attacking that world record at some point. It's 449.99, isn't it, by Bikili? So you know, maybe that's one that he can get in the next few weeks in this indoor season. And I'm not quite sure where he wants to take this indoors. You know, I don't think we see him at the world indoors. This is merely just a tune up. I mean, he said it himself, tune up for the big one, the Millrose Games.
Oh, it certainly is the big one, isn't it? And I think particularly as an American, getting to run in Millrose must be insane. I guess with like a home crowd and just the way the American fans treat their own athletes as well. Certainly gonna be pretty special. And after obviously not getting the 1500 result he wanted in the summer, I'm sure he wants to come out swinging in terms of the mile and the 15 early in 2026 as well.
Yeah, he will. And like I say, it's just an interesting year for Americans, full stop. I mean, they basically just have a free hit everything. I mean, talk about Hocker and Grant Fish is now announcing that he's going to do New York half, isn't he? So, you know, I think this is an opportunity for him to get on the roads and just see how he responds. So just loads of free hits, loads of free hits. And, you know, I think for someone like Hocker, the level he's operating at, I mean, world champ over the 5, 1500 Olympic champ, we still haven't seen what this guy is capable of. You know, even though he's won those majors, you know, can he, we always talk about Jakob being just the best time trialer there ever is, but can Hocker and others start to prove that actually they're just as fast as Jakob in an all-out foot race? I just wanted to recap a few before we get into Millrose, obviously, next week and some of those incredible fields that are being put together. We should obviously just mention about George Cootey's 457 2K as well. That was a collegiate best. Obviously, cracking time for him. But, you know, we should acknowledge the 2K is a distance not run very often. I mean, when we were skimming through that all times list, I saw Cam Levins had run like a 454 or something, was it? Or I was like, well,
55.
Cam Levins. yeah, if Cam Levins can do that back in 2014 in non-super shoes, then there must be a lot of people who can. So I think, you know, to put it into context a little bit, obviously great time, collegiate best, but I guess it will just be more telling to see what he can do over the mile, Kuti and the 3K. I mean, we know he's in stellar form, really, and finishing sort of just behind. By the way, Kubatier was also in that race, second, right behind Hocker.
Yeah, equal the American record, equal Legat's time, did Cooper.
He did. Hey, let's talk through some of these Milrose fields then, because they are absolutely sickening. You know, the athletes that we've got in them. I mean, that 2 mile coming out, you know, the battle, but also we got Boston tonight, and I think that will be interesting to see how everyone fares going into Milrose games. Hocker choosing not to race anyone, to keep it low key, contesting that 2K yesterday. But, you know, the men's 800, for example, Kia McPhillips, Itaoui, Bryce Hopple, Brazier, Patterson, Colin Salmon as well. We signed with Deodora this week. So those, I mean, that is just a stellar field, that is. And I'm just trying to find, bear with me, mate. I had it then, but just trying to get the mile field, Nagus, Kessler, Myers. I thought Myers ran very well the other day. 3:49, looks so comfortable in Washington for the mile. Won it pretty much gun to tape, looked easy as anything. And so he goes in that. Yeah, so Nagus, Kessler, Myers, Hoare, Martin, Gary Martin, Rob Farkin, Festus Legat, Koska, and Nico Young, interestingly enough, and Josh Hoey.
Yeah, is a good field, isn't it? Although, yeah, I mean, I say it's a good field. It is obviously a top field. I think we're missing a few of the big names like we might have had in previous years, but maybe that's because actually some of these guys in here were big names last year. So Yaron Agus, Hobbs, Kessler coming into this last year, it was a bit more exciting because they'd run so quick in the summer, or so well, sorry, in the summer. Whereas now you kind of look at it in relation to your World Champs final and you're like, it's all right.
I still think they are extremely big names, you know, those guys. Like Nagus is still, and I think he'll have so much to prove. Talk about chasing records and stuff and winning races. I think this will be Nagus's year where he tries to push the boundaries on how fast he can run. He hasn't got to worry about a championship. He doesn't have to prepare for anything as such. He can just race when he's fit and he's raring to go. And, you know, we know how fast he can run over the 1500. So this is going to be a year for him to just, you know, prove to everyone, prove to you, mate, that he is still a big name.
Yeah, I just think you compare it to the 2 mile though, and then you're like, well, there's no contest.
Oh, I always think that indoors, the 3K is always much more exciting, you know, and always the big names. You know, you get the 1500 guys always step up to the 3 and the 2, and then you always get the 5K boys stepping down, just to sort of turn over a little quicker in the winter. Who we got in that? We got Beamish, Blanks, Fisher, Hocker, Drew Hunter,
Beamish, Strand, Cooper, Kergat, Whiteman,
Josh Kerr in there as well.
Yeah, Josh Kerr as well.
Parker Wolf and Ethan Strand. I mean, that, you know, Grant Fisher and Whiteman in a 2 mile, how is he going to fare? I've been liking how he's been looking recently. I'm only going on social media, but he is looking very fit. You can just tell his stride looks so good at the moment.
There's the one thing that I say, like, it's interesting you mentioned Whiteman in a 2 mile, because the historic Whiteman opener was like a 7:53 3K. And yeah, then a week later, he'd go and run 7:30-something. I don't think he's got a chance to run. He's running 7:50 to make sure he's ready to go in the 2 mile next week. Yeah, let's hope he can, I guess, start on his normal second race of the season.
Yeah, I'm going to be super intrigued how, like, Wolf and Strand and people like that, and even Fisher. I mean, I know they ran so fast last year, Fisher and Hocker, to be fair, and so did Kerr. Over these distances. Yeah, I don't know what I'm trying to predict here. But I think for someone like Wolf, who's come off the cross country, is he going to find it? You know, that 2 mile, they're going to move. You know, expect them to get very close to 8 minutes.
But you got to think that in terms of the training that a lot of these guys will be doing, it will have been very similar to if they were racing cross country anyway, I'd have thought.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few people who I think, like, for example, Graham Blanks might find it hard to turn over off the back of the country. But you're right, they all train, you know, they all train pretty much the same. I thought when we caught up with Dave Malarkey, it was interesting to hear what he said about, you know, just the,
yeah, and it's something
the way that people are training in Flagstaff, full stop. Yeah. You know, they're all pretty much.
Rissenhine used to say it when he was training with Salazar. He basically said he's only ever 8 weeks away from PBing in anything, as long as he's fit, as long as he's like, running miles, obviously running threshold, running, like doing his gym. And as long as he's got a base of that, that like all of them were only ever, I think he said about only 8 weeks away from PBing in any event, essentially, just because of the way that their build up and their base is so versatile in terms of then going and switching to what you need to do.
Yeah. Mate, moving on to extension Milrose. Those start lists aren't fully published yet, though, which is a bit annoying. We're just going off of like what we've seen in the media.
A few articles
and stuff like that, obviously looking ahead and the big dogs. But yeah, they haven't mentioned, you know, they've definitely got a good women's field as well, over the 1,000. You've got some big names in there. I think Ertekleka in there, Daguma headlining the 1,000. So some big names, but yeah, not, you know, the likes of Keely and Georgia Bell and those people. I mean, interested, Keely mentioning she was going to race at a British Indoor Championships over 800 for the first time. But yeah, Georgia Bell, who we saw last year go over to the States and hit a bit of an indoor season, she's not going to be, you know, contesting, I don't think, in America. She's lined up for a few European races. So yeah, won't see her. I mean, Elsa Pierre returns as well to the Wanamaker Mile field. So not the... I think, obviously, in the women's, those big hitters are obviously Jess Hull, but, you know, outside of that, there are a lot of Europeans who feature. And then, of course, you know, you have the likes of Kip Yegon and the Ethiopians as well, who don't tend to do heaps indoors in the States. They more stick to that European circuit.
Yeah, you mentioned Saint-Pierre looking to win her fourth Wanamaker Mile after missing last year.
So good, mate. Obviously Saint-Pierre has reasons why she's missed. She's had kids, hasn't she? But you know, she did used to put. I remember her putting Jess Hull away convincingly in the Wanamaker Mile, and you wonder, you know, where her trajectory might have got to if she hadn't had, like, you know, sort of consistent years out of the sport. Yeah. But
well, yeah, you look at 2020, Saint-Pierre wins. No race in 21 due to COVID. She wins again in 22. Then Laura Muir wins in 23. Saint-Pierre wins again in 24. And then Georgia Hunter Bell last year, of course. So staggering record.
Dorcas Awoy is racing as well. The lady who was won me a bit of money at the World Championships in the 1500 by Medlin. Paddy Diva gave me the tip off. Just said she's looking good. Anyway, there's a little bit of a preview for Milrose. Not too in depth. And I think... You know, this indoor season for me is, we'll watch the World Champs, but it's not. I have no doubt we might see a few records. But with the summer, you know, just quite a long way off, and the fact that it's Europeans and stuff, I'm just not even that. I don't know. I'm not that excited for the indoor season, really.
Well, I think...
Because it feels like it's come around. I think with the World Cross, the indoor season is just... And Valencia and stuff. It feels like the indoor season's come around real quick. And just...
It's just snuck up on us, hasn't it? Snuck up on us.
Yeah. A lot of the results, I think. But, you know, no doubt, you know, you hear all these rumors, don't you? Everyone's going for records. Hull's going for records. They're all going for area and national records and probably even world records. So, hey, let's see what happens in Milrose. But just looking ahead as well, obviously, as Boston tonight. And that's, I think, BMC in Cardiff. We'll review that next week. But it's not too much to talk about. We don't want to waste too much time ahead of this Elise Cranny episode, to be honest.
Yeah, let's talk about Elise Cranny, mate, because obviously mentioned at the start, first US athlete to come and train with M11. Great sign in terms of that group's progression, but one athlete she is in terms of obviously running at Stanford, like a superb NCAA career, training with the BTC, and now choosing to take her career to Trevor and Jenny Painter.
Yeah, look, I think this is the power of social media, and this is the power of what M11 are doing. When I asked Cranny, you know, she was kind of looking for a change. She's someone who responds to working with a group, right? She, you know, loved college, obviously loved the Bowmans until it started to break up a little bit, you know, and we talk about that. But, you know, she was training in Flagstaff, but obviously largely sort of like on her own program. And yeah, she just looked at the M11 and was like, that's the group I want to be a part of. And to be fair, like you do, you know, I'm sure everyone is sitting there on Instagram and you see the M11 content come out. You know, they're in South Africa, life looks amazing. And it's like, you know, I imagine there's a lot of athletes who want to be a part of that group. And so is social media, you know, there's a conversation we had, is social media becoming a bit of a recruitment tool for M11? Like, because they have, honestly, they've had 10 plus athletes, I think, join that group in the last, probably in the last 6 months.
Well, I think it's
and they've obviously got the capacity for it.
Yeah, it's something that American colleges always used to do, right? Like, I think half the point of Workout Wednesdays on Flowtrack was to recruit athletes and give people an insight of what it would be like if you went and studied at Stanford, say, for example, in Cranny's instance. And I think, yeah, in this day and age, like, you, if you're going to make the move, a big move, and particularly in running, where it's yes, it's an individual sport, but being in the right place, surrounded by the right people, is massive. You want to, I guess, have a look before you go all in and move there. And I know she's obviously been in South Africa for the majority of it, so it'll be interesting what it's like, how much she bases herself in Manchester when they're not on camps and things. But outside of that, of course, you've got to just look at the success that Keely and Georgia have had in recent years, obviously other athletes as well. But though when you've got those two of the best athletes in the world heading up your program, it's a pretty good advert in itself, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And it, you know, she talks about largely just the enjoyment and how refreshing it's been to just change training models completely, like just a complete U-turn on how she was training and also how she viewed the sport. So, you know, time will tell whether that works and any cranny that we're going to see. But, you know, she also talks about the 1500 being an event that she wants to participate in a lot more, given that this year is a kind of a free hit year. Like, you can experiment and you can go compete over the 1500 if you're a 5K.
357.
Well, and this is her point. This is her point. She, yeah. Exactly.
We think of her as a distance athlete, but when you've run 3:57, then you're still a miler, I think. I don't think anyone can say she's not.
Yeah, that is her point. And it's like, how far can she push the boundaries? And, you know, you've only got a small window, right? And so, yeah, credit to her for sort of reaching out, getting that move sorted with Trevor. And, yeah, she goes into the philosophy and everything like that. So, yeah, really, really cool episode.
Yeah, so over to Matt and Annalise, thanks for listening to us, and we'll catch you guys very, very soon.
Well, welcome everybody. We have the wonderful Lise Cranny on the podcast, American distance sensation, just over a 30-minute 10K performer, American record holder, has some stellar lifetime best, Stanford graduate, former BTC member. The list goes on, but more importantly, now an M11 member. And Elise, are you the first American to join M11?
I think so. Yeah, I think when they were creating the whole like me joining video on social media, I think I might be the first American. So yeah, it's pretty awesome to be part of a UK-based group.
Yeah, and how is life a part of a UK-based group? Any differences that struck you straight away, hit you in the face?
Oh, man. Let's see. I feel like it's been great so far. I haven't spent too much time in the UK. I was only in Manchester for about 2 weeks, and then we've been in South Africa. So I kind of keep forgetting that we actually are UK-based, because my time on the team so far, the majority of it has been spent in South Africa. But no, it's been really fun. It's also just been fun to be like, obviously being from Colorado and then going to Stanford and growing up kind of like going through the NCAA system and just like being exposed to kind of the U.S. like coaching and distance running scene. It's like really cool also to just be in like a whole different culture and see kind of like how training and philosophies are different somewhere else too. I think that's been like quite refreshing for me too.
Yeah, I was going to say, is that something you've enjoyed just straight off the bat? Because you have been immersed in that US system. And there's very rarely, we get a lot of Brits go over to the US, but very rarely does it happen the other way. You're probably one of the very first.
Yeah, it's been so refreshing, honestly. And I think, like, I don't exactly know how to say this, but it's like, sometimes I feel like when I've been running for so long, it's like so easy to build certain like habits or just like, I don't know, get caught up in like mileage or certain things that I feel like are part of like underlying parts of programs that I've been a part of. And so it's like, it's quite nice to go to a totally different environment. And I find that it's just like, when you change it up so much, it's really nice to just like buy into something completely new and just feel like, I don't know, almost like you're new to the sport again, which is like really exciting for me because I've been doing it for so long, but it feels like, yeah, like a second part of my career. Like, I feel like I'm just kind of starting from square zero and like learning new things, like in the gym, on the track, like, yeah, learning new things from everyone in this group, which has been like super, super fun and really like stimulating and exciting.
I got to admit, from the outside, when I saw that you were joining M11, I was like, there's probably not a bigger contrast between ways of training. Obviously, I don't know the full details of the setups you've been in the past, but from being at Bauman and in that NCAA system to M11, like there are big contrasts in the way those groups operate.
Yeah, it actually has been like quite crazy. Even just like joining and like getting to know a lot of people on the team, and they were kind of asking like, is this training similar to what you're used to? And I was like, no, like this is so so far out of my comfort zone. Like when I first came to Manchester, those first 2 weeks, I was doing a lot with Aaron Wallace and Ava Lloyd. And yeah, I feel like I was just completely thrown in the deep end, especially like I'm quite used to like very heavy aerobic training just like all the time, but especially like at least until like April or May. And I feel like with M11, there's like quite a bit more intensity, and it's like good because you're touching on those faster paces kind of all year round. But I was definitely like, it was definitely a shock to the system. I was very in over my head when I first got there. I was like, oh my gosh, this is like a workout where, you know, you're hitting a wall dying with lactic in your legs. And I was like, this is November. And I feel like I like, yeah. So it's been a shock to the system, but in a very good way.
With that change, you've managed to stay healthy. Like there's been no injury concern or anything like that. Has that surprised you?
I think it's, you know, honestly, in some ways, I think, you know, they're really good here at like doing like supplementing with cross training. So Jenny and Trevor have been like very smart with my mileage, which I think is huge. And like, that's definitely been something that I've had to like wrap my brain around too, is like when you increase intensity, like you have to drop your mileage quite a bit from what I was used to. But I think, like I said, I feel like I was really ready for like quite a drastic change. And in some ways, I feel like this is similar to kind of how I was training in high school, just like a bit lower mileage. I have like a swimming background, so doing quite a bit more like swimming and cross training with higher intensity. And like, I feel like, yeah, it's kind of silly as a sound. It's like, I feel like it's like what my body has been like craving and needing. Yeah, it just feels like it like wanted something, like it just needed a different stimulus.
So when you've been with coaches, obviously you're in at Stanford, and then you went to Jerry, and then you had a few coaches in between Jerry and obviously M11. You went to, did you go to Team Boss for a little bit? And then Jared Cornfield, right? NAU for a little bit as well. So were those coaches, were you looking for people who were quite similar to Jerry, because you had such good success being a part of the BT?
It's really interesting, because I think, especially when I think about that now, I think like in some ways when I look back, I'm like, Jared has like kind of a similar philosophy to Jerry, which is definitely what I wanted. I think I feel like I had a lot of success there, so I wanted something similar. But I think with Jared, what was nice is there were some differences, which was good. Like I started doing some double threshold and some things that were kind of new and exciting. Mm-hmm. And then I think, you know, it was a good transition in terms of Jared to come to M11 too, because like with Jared, we were doing a little bit more cross training. I feel like we were kind of taking the elements of Jerry's training that were working really well, but just kind of, as I had gotten a little bit older, I think I had just kind of kept falling into some like overtraining or overdoing it a bit too much. And so I think with Jared, it was like taking the elements of Jerry's training and having some of those like really, really hard key sessions, but just like not quite as consistently. So with some more recovery time, some more cross training built in. But overall, I think like a very similar philosophy, which I think was like a very good, like really what I needed at the time.
When you talk about overtraining when you get older, are you talking about pushing the limits? So trying to see where you can just extend and get more value? Or are you just talking about because you're getting older, you find yourself having to do a bit less, like you can't handle as much intensity?
Yeah, I think it's more for me was about like pushing the limits. Like I think once I first started making some of like, I would say the first time I kind of fell into it was after I made the Tokyo Olympics. And I feel like making the final for the first time and being on the global stage, it was like, it's kind of a double-edged sword. Like it was incredible to stand on the line and like leave that and feel like, okay, I know like I've now raced against the best in the world and like that's where I want to be. But I think in some ways that also had me like double down and think I need to train way harder or do way more mileage, which is like definitely not the response looking back that I wish I had. You know, like I think there are ways that I could have worked on things a bit more, I guess a bit more in a, like a very, in a smarter manner instead of just thinking like, okay, I just have to like train harder and do more. So I think I kind of got, you know, when I said like the transition has been has been good of getting out of some of those habits. Like, I think I just got really stuck in like needing to do more mileage, needing to like train harder. And like, that's the only way to get better, instead of looking at like, okay, how can you supplement with cross training? How can you add intensity? How can you like get better in the gym? How can you get better with recovery, get better with your mindset? It's like looking at all the like 1% you can pick up in different areas, instead of, for a while, I think I was very much kind of like one track mind. Like, the way to get better is to just do like harder, longer, more intense workouts, which is like, a recipe for disaster, unfortunately.
It is. But for a period, did that not work? Because I think for 2020, when did you set your American record and stuff? Was it 2022? You ran a great 10K and
2022, yeah.
So for a period, when you went away in 2021 and lifted training, it worked for a little bit, and then injuries hit and whatnot.
Yeah. So it definitely worked. Like, I mean, I would say, right, like pretty short term, because I was like, well, the mix ended up being in 2021 in the fall. So I feel like I had probably some of my best training of my life from like October 2021 until like March or April 2022. And then I feel like it kind of just was like a little bit inconsistent from there. So that's something that I'm like hoping to find this year too, with the change, and something I was definitely working on when I was with Jared too, is just trying to find more consistency in training, but like also in racing. Like, I think last year, like, I'm happy that I ended up making the world team, but I just feel like my racing was so inconsistent. And like, even from a mental like standpoint, it's not very fun to like show up to the line and like kind of feel like you have no idea what your body's going to give you that day. It's like, it's not very enjoyable.
No, but why do you think that was then? Why do you think you were turning up on the start lines and you just weren't sure what the race was going to throw at you, what you were going to be able to produce?
Yeah, I think I was just like overdoing it a bit too much. I think I was leaving too much in my workouts, like in practice. And yeah, I think I would show up and like feel like, oh, okay, I have this confidence from these like one or two workouts. But like, I feel like I was doing my best stuff, in sessions instead of leaving them for the races. So yeah, not
it's
ideal.
Probably quite reassuring for people. For people to listen to this and hear a professional go through, because this whole overdoing it in workouts is something which is just drilled. I feel like on social media we see it all the time, and whenever you see an athlete on a podcast, you know, they preach those words, but you know, it's reassuring to hear that even professionals need reminding of that sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we were like talking about before the podcast even started, like, you use the word consistency, and it's like, that's something that like is like a constant like daily reminder that I have to remind myself. It's like, you want, like, the most important thing in running is consistency. And it's not about like the one flashy workout you can do, but it's like stringing together weeks and weeks of training. And so I think, you know, even when you talk about like previous coaches or like having success under Jerry, is like, I do think the most time, the periods where I've had the most success have literally just been when I've been most consistent. And it's not like that you can pick out there was like one or two workouts that were crazy. It's like, oh, that's just because I had been consistent and injury free for several years. And that's usually like where the magic happens.
And you talk about confidence a little bit going into those races, and you are having to get it, you're getting it from workouts. It must be difficult for when you've had this sort of twilight period or purple patch in your career where you've trained at an insane level for 4, 5, 6 months. And, you know, you must have a very good picture of what those workouts look like, what splits you were hitting, what you were able to achieve. Until you hit that again, it is probably quite challenging to trust that you're in the shape of your life and you can go out there and you can come top five in the world or top, you know, podium and on the world stage, right?
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, that's something that I was really working on with Jared, and I think has been like fun with the transition to M11 too, is just working on like finding confidence from like how you're executing and less from the splits, which I know sounds like very cliche, but just like finding confidence and like defining success and like, yeah, how do you show up for the workout? Or, you know, did you show up for a workout and you felt like you were having a bad day and like you know, we're still able to get through the session and actually do better than you thought? And like, I think those are the things like I'm trying to do, is something that I really like to do is like journal and write down like what went well. And I think when those kind of like stack up, you get momentum and confidence. And so I've definitely had to work on like shifting away from that, because otherwise I feel like you do have those couple workouts that almost like haunt you, because you're like, or you
can only imagine. Yeah.
I'm talking about this with Jared too. It's like, you know, you can't really have those because then it's like you almost want to get to the point where then it's like I'm asking him to give me a workout that's like the same. And it's like,
yep.
you don't want to just like plug in one workout here and think that then like if you execute it, that you'll be just fine. So yeah, I think it is about like finding that confidence. Like I said, sounds cliche, but like from within or other avenues to not just from splits in a workout, which I think I've had to work on with the transition to this new group too, just because when you're doing new sessions, it's like, it's hard to know what it means,
what did
you
mean?
Know?
So yeah.
Even if you crush a session, it's like, I don't really know what that means. Or if it's not quite as good as you wanted, it's hard to be like, what does that mean? I don't know.
You'll find out soon enough, I'm sure.
Will. That's the fun part, right? I'm like, don't take the surprise out of it, Elise. Just train, and then that's what you raise.
This is it. I think another area that someone like yourself can probably take confidence with and has done in the past is obviously not just splits, but leveling yourself against those around you. I mean, I just think back to those Bauma days and that group you had there. And then obviously the group you find yourself in now. And I guess you've got to be careful not to fall into that trap, you know, and comparing yourself against the ladies and some of the guys that you're training with at the moment.
Yeah, for sure. I think in some ways, you know, it's this feels very similar to when I first joined Bowerman. And I think it is like actually something that's so, I don't know. I think sometimes I can, as everyone, like can fall into the trap of comparison. But I think sometimes when you're surrounded by people that are so good, that have done the things that you want to do, which is here. And, you know, back when I joined Bowerman, it's like you're surrounded by Olympians and American record holders. Mm. And here it's like I'm surrounded by like Olympic champions and world medalists, Olympic medalists. And I think in some ways, I don't know what to say. It's like you have that comparison piece, but it's like a really like positive comparison piece. Like I think it gives me a lot of like excitement in terms of like you can kind of see where you like need to or want to be. It's just like a very good, you know, metric to be surrounded by people of like, okay, this is the level that I need to get to. And I think when you're training with people like, you know, Keely and Georgia day in and day out, it's nice to be like, okay, I'm just going to try to get a little closer today and a little closer. Like it feels like there are like steps to get there, if that makes sense. And I think that was something that was really helpful for me at Bowerman too, was like when I first joined, I was probably finishing like 50% of a session, but then in some ways it's like you have to again, like, sounds so like people say this all the time and it's much easier said than done, but it's like you have to compare yourself to yourself, and it has to just be, and that's what I say when I joined this group, like those first couple sessions I had in Manchester were just so horrendous. Like it's like you can't
at give
that
us an
point
example.
I was like I can't even compare. I'm trying to think, like we did some 400s and I think I started in like 64, and I'm kid you not, like by the end, like probably after like six of them, I was literally probably running like 69 to 70 seconds, which is like quite literally slower than my 5K pace. Yeah. And I was like dying, like feeling like I might as well be running like 63 or 62. And so that sort of thing is like, at that point, I can't even compare to anyone on the team. It just has to be like, okay, the next time you do this session, Elise, like, you know, try to average a little bit faster. And so I think in some ways, like I said, I think I really thrive. And I think running is really about the consistency, but also about like gaining momentum. Like I think you see that all the time, you know, when people have like a really good season, it's just like, it just is like starts like snowballing. And so I think that's something that I really is similar now to when I joined Bowerman. It's just like, I feel like when you're learning and doing new things, like even in the gym, but also every session is like, you're getting a little momentum that's like building from each session, because you can like see the progress you're making. And I love that, because I tell people all the time, like I'm jealous of people that are in like high school or just getting into running, or any age, like I guess anyone who's just getting into running, where you're seeing like these massive, you know, PB drops, and it's like, oh my gosh, like you start to talk to people that get to a certain level and it's like you're trying to do everything to maybe drop like 1 second or half a second. And so in some ways it's like maybe that's not manifesting in like PBs right now for me, but like being able to see like big progress, like from week to week, like just like being able to add weight on an exercise and feel like you're getting stronger, yeah. or being able to average slightly faster on a workout is like, yeah, I just think that momentum is like really, really fun and exciting.
And I imagine that's something which is quite easy to do in the program you're in at the moment, because there's cross training, because there's such a, you know, they place such a importance on gym work and circuits and everything like that. And so there's huge variation in your training. So actually, it's not just running, you know, it's not just mileage or workouts. There's lots more to sort of focus and fixate on.
For sure. It's like, I was actually just talking to Erin Wallace about that today. I was like, you actually have to be careful, because her and I swim together, and it's like sometimes we both have a swimming background. So I think as we are starting to swim more, it's like you get better at it and you start hitting like faster splits in the pool. And like you have to remind yourself, like, okay, we're here to like run, like this cross training. You're like getting competitive, like, you know, being like, okay, like, how can we keep getting faster in the pool? And it's like, so I do think there's a point where it's like you have to get momentum, and then there's a point where like, okay, there are certain things that you probably like keep the cross training.
But it is really fun
to just be trying to get better at a lot of different things.
I'm just going to pick up on, you know, a comment you said about when you first started with workouts were extremely hard. First start with Bowman, finishing 50% of the workouts. And in Bowman, was it Jerry's rule? Like he wouldn't modify sessions for you then. He wouldn't say, you know, you're a newbie, we're just going to tone things down. We're going to, it would just be do this session, and if you can't finish it, we'll try and do better next time.
Yeah. I also think it was hard because I think I had one extra season of cross country when I graduated from Stanford. So I also like joined at a like kind of a weird time. I joined Bowerman in March. So I definitely am very jealous of everyone who joined in the fall, where you kind of like have that period of like, of, you know, kind of like ramping up and getting into it. But I feel like joining in March, there wasn't really time for that. So I literally like, I remember my first workout that I ever did was 4x2 mile. And I think I was used to doing like tempo, like K's for tempos, K repeats at like, I don't know, like quite slow in college, like 80 something per lap. And I feel like we started this and he was like, okay, we're going to be running like 77 to 78 for 4x2 mile. And I was just like, holy cow, like this is crazy. It's like, so things like that, like, or I think we did like a 3x3 mile workout and I was just like, this is crazy. So, so a lot of workouts where you're not finishing, you're just doing as much as you can, or kind of like makeshifting it together in terms of, you know, like for those longer repeats, it's like you'd sit out a 400 and jump back in. And like as an athlete and someone for me that's like very much like perfectionist, it's so unsatisfying to like have to go back to your log and be like, the workout was 3x3 miles, but I did 5 laps and then sat out one and then did 2 laps and then sat out one. but it also is good. Like I think you know, it's been interesting even with M11 too, like with Trevor and Jenny. I think it's really good of like, you do the session. And like I said, those 400s that I was doing, I was dying. So I'm thinking like, does he want me to stop? Like I'm running so much slower, but it's like, just finish the session. And, you know, you're getting like a really good stimulus from it because you're clearly working through lactic if that's as fast as you can run at that point. So I think that's been in both groups, that's a good mindset shift too of like, just, you know, you kind of always have more than you think. And maybe it's like not quite like putting it together perfectly. But, you know, being able to continue to jump back in and kind of mentally show yourself like you have more, you can finish it, even if the splits aren't kind of like as sexy and nice as you want.
No, I find that fascinating because that's quite a ruthless approach. And maybe that you have to be ruthless at that level, you know, at your level, you know, it's kind of like, but even those Bowman days, it sounds like pace was more important than, you know, pace was the number one. And it was like, well, if you can't hold that pace, then drop out, do less, miss a lap. But you got better off of that, which is interesting because most people be like, oh, you know, you got to train at your current fitness, build up to that speed. But by doing that, you ended up being able to string these sessions together.
Yeah, which is interesting, like thinking back when you say that, but I'm kind of like, I don't know if that's just because that's what I was exposed to, like right when I left university, but like looking back, it's like I knew no other way, you know? And so that's where in some ways I even feel prepared for it being here at M11 too, is like, yeah, you just like, you keep going and you just do the best that you can. And I think it is. It's like, it's definitely hard. But I think, you know, to what we were saying earlier, I think like it actually gives you a lot of like confidence and mental strength in like a weird way, because you finish workouts and you're like kind of defeated. But then when you stop and like actually think through it, or you're like I said, you can see that tangible progress of like, you know, I don't know, if I made it 5 laps one day with Jerry and then the next week I made it 6 or 7 laps. It is pretty cool to like be able to see that tangible progress, even like I said, when it feels a bit like disjointed and a bit kind of like just throwing yourself in and like dying. And it's definitely not like a fun way to do it. It doesn't feel like super like controlled and nice, but it works after some time if you keep showing up and you stay in it.
It's refreshing to hear that though, because I think again, with the rise of double threshold, a lot of the messages out there are like, I think people are becoming a little scared of failure. And especially in workouts, you know, I think they look at pros and think, you know, they've got their shit figured out. They never overtrain. It's always perfect. You know, they coast through workouts and it's just not the case. Like I think, you know, even that M11 example, clearly you're in workouts and you are, you know, back to the wall.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think, you know, in some ways I've had a few conversations with people about this. I think it's like I'm like very fascinated by just the rise of double threshold too. And I think it is interesting. Like, obviously, like I can't say too much about the like physiology of it, but like I said, from like a mental standpoint, it's like, obviously you don't want to like do that all the time and be like showing up at every single session and like going so hard and going to the well. But I do think like, and maybe I'm just saying that because that's just like what I've known and what has worked for me. But I do think like I have really gained a lot from that. And it's like very much helped me in my racing and stuff too, of just being like learning to, yeah, like you said, like learning how to fail and then how to show up the next day and make a goal that's like, I'm someone I feel like that would also set like maybe like kind of really big lofty goals, which is good, but it also forces you to like focus on more process goals, like I said, of like, okay, this week I'm, instead of being intimidated by like finishing the whole workout, it's kind of nice to be like, okay, I just need to take like one step forward today, and what does that look like? It kind of makes everything a bit more like narrow, which I think is actually can be helpful sometimes. Like to your point, I think just especially when you're surrounded by really, really, really like incredible athletes and people that have done crazy things and have, you know, medals and at the top level of the sport. I think that can be really overwhelming, you know, is like if I set out to just be like, okay, I'm going to do this whole workout with Keely, like I would definitely leave like quite disappointed. And I think that would be like, you know, a very like lofty goal for someone that's run 2 flat compared to someone that's run 154. But I think that's where it helps you kind of get okay, like more okay with failure, which I think is really important in a race. And I think has helped me in races where it's like they're not going well and you're like, okay, well, I know that I've been like to my limit in practice and then still found myself able to do more. So I think, yeah, in some ways it's like quite a good mental exercise. And like I said, forces you to kind of like sit down with yourself and be honest of like, okay, what would a step forward be, you know, or something as simple as like, maybe I am finishing 50% of the workout and maybe the next week I'm not even finishing more than that, but maybe like my mindset is slightly better. And it's like, even looking at that is like, that's a step forward too, is like, oh, I didn't freak out as early on in the workout, thinking that I wasn't going to be able to finish very much of it. And so I think there's like, yeah, for any level of training, honestly, I think there's like a lot of things that you can gain from that. And obviously, like double threshold has its place, but I think there are a lot of like lessons and like mental tactics that you can work on when you kind of are forced to do some of those workouts, or like, again, question, maybe you're finishing the workout, but like maybe you're questioning whether you're going to finish it like 30% or 50% in. And like, those are also like very, very valuable lessons, because there are some races where it's like, yeah, you're running a 5K and you're hurting like a K in and you're wondering how you're going to finish if you practice that a little bit. Like I said, like calculated practice, obviously not something you can do every single day, but yeah.
I think I totally agree. You know, you've got to simulate racing, not just physically, but also mentally, and putting yourself in those situations is just crucial. And then on those situations, was competitiveness encouraged at Bauman, and is it encouraged at M11? You know, from what we see, a few M11 clips and stuff for training sessions, everyone is 10 meters apart. Everyone just looks to be, you know, absolutely flat out, and it doesn't matter where you are. You know, it's almost like a race every rep.
Yeah, it is crazy. I think, I don't know what it is. I think especially with M11, I don't know if it's just because there's so many people from so many different countries. But I was talking to Lucia Stafford, who recently joined too. She's Canadian, and we were briefly on Bowerman together. So that's been really fun to be teammates again. But we were both just talking about like somehow the environment at M11, I feel like you think – and it's like, I even felt this way, like watching little clips of their Instagram before I joined. I was like, oh my gosh, like these workouts look crazy. Like it's a standing start and then everyone's like separated. But we were both talking for some reason. It's like just, I think, you know, Trevor and Jenny do a really good job of that. And, you know, everyone is like very much focused on like their own goals and helping push one another. But it feels competitive, but not competitive, if that makes sense. It's like competitive in a really, really good way where you're like doing a workout and, you know, it's definitely like everyone's pushing each other. But Lucy and I were just talking about that. I wish I could do better at putting it into words, but it's one of the like craziest environments that I've been in where you would think it would just be like so like toxic, stressful and competitive, but it's just not at all. And it's competitive in a really good way. But I think, I guess even talking about like the gym or the circuits or the cross training, I think it's like one of the first teams that I've been on where I feel like people are really like confident in what they need and they really know what they need. And that's like been really refreshing to be a part of just like people are doing different exercises in the gym or different weights, but like everyone's doing what they know they need. And people do very different things to cross train. Like, you know, I think there's quite a bit of content that you see of like Georgia and Keely doing bike rides. And obviously Georgia's background with cycling and like they do like quite a bit of cycling. And some days they do a long cycle instead of a run. And so it's like everyone, it's like what people do outside of sessions is like quite different, but it's like everyone's doing, I feel like, what they need to do, which is quite cool.
Yeah. And I think again, you know, from the outside, it just looks like whatever you're doing, you're killing it. You know, so if it's gym, you're going hard. If it's track, you're going hard. If it's cross training, you're going hard. And you mentioned, you know, briefly, you looked at M11 on the outside, you know, maybe a few months ago. What sparked the conversations to join? Was it yourself? You know, was it Trevor and Jenny? Did you meet up with Georgia on the circuit? Like, what? How did you join M11?
Yeah, I think I guess I keep saying like I first saw Georgia again at the Prefontaine Classic. We raced against each other in 2024 when she was just making her comeback. And she talked to me right after the race and she was like, I don't know if you remember me, but I went to Cal. So we had race against like each other a ton in like big meet, which was Cal versus Stanford. And then a couple like regional meets in the NCAA when she was there for a couple years. And so that was kind of like a crazy, like, yeah, like life fast forward. Wow. And then, I think I was just like following the group for the last year, and I loved working with Jared. It was like so great, and we've known each other for like 10 plus years, so I feel like we had a really good like coach athlete relationship. I feel like just toward the end of this season, I really was like, I need to be part of a team again. I'd kind of been working with Jared for a little over a year and a half and felt like was doing quite a bit of stuff on my own and like would go to Flagstaff to do training camps, but still like so nice to have your coach in person, but just not the same when you like don't have a group to train with. And I think I've just been following them a bit more and seeing like, wow, it looks like they have a really, really cool group dynamic. And again, like you never really know from social media, but from what I was gathering, I was like, it seems, you know, like they have a really good dynamic. And then obviously in Tokyo, like Keely and Georgia going 2-3 in the 800 and just seeing like, I don't know how they like seemed as teammates and supported each other, but like we're also, you know, racing against each other and bringing the best out of each other. So I reached out to my sports marketing rep at Nike just to see if that would even be an option. Kind of like you said, I feel like there aren't
the
many people
you
that
have to go through.
Yeah, I feel like there aren't many people that like have gone like you said, I feel like I've only known of people that have kind of come to the US. So I was like, this is definitely like quite a bit out of my comfort zone. But yeah, then he put me in contact with Trevor and Jenny, and I had a Zoom call with them. And I feel like I was just talking to Trevor about this the other day. I feel like that first Zoom call, like, I feel like within the first couple minutes, we could just tell, like, at least from my side, like, I just felt like their energy was so good. And it was so funny because I feel like they were trying to, like, they were, like, kind of selling the group and telling me about it. And I was like, I'm, like, already sold on the group.
Yeah.
Like, I just, like, needed to talk to you guys, and it was cool. Like, I feel like I told them, like, jokingly, I was like, I feel like I'm such a stalker, but I feel like I had listened to, like, several podcasts that they had done, just, like, trying to do, like, kind of my own research. And I do feel like when I got on that Zoom call with them, it was, like, they were exactly kind of what I had, like, learned and pictured in my head based on what I had, you know, like, heard from people and listened to. And, like, I think that was really cool. Yeah. And so we just had like one or two Zoom calls, and it all like happened pretty quick from there.
And on those calls, were you at the moment, what are you training for? Do you still see yourself as a 5K, 10K runner? I know I'd listened to a few interviews with yourself, and potentially you are looking to step down, which is unusual,
yeah.
You know, at this point in your career to step down in distance.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not common.
Yeah, it's definitely not common. This year, I definitely would like to focus on the 15. Right. I might do one or two 3Ks indoors. We'll definitely like keep the 5K. Like, that's something that I really do love. But yeah, I would like to take some time to. It's funny because like when I was at Stanford, like all I ran pretty much was 1500s.
Yeah.
And even pretty much in high school. So I feel like I got all the way up to the 10, but I still really love the 15. So I feel like hopefully my sweet spot is more like 15, 3K, 5K now, ideally.
Yeah. I mean, is that what, I guess your motivation is there to do those events, but have you always seen yourself as like, yeah, I've got more to give over the 1500?
Yeah, I do. And I think, you know, that's something that was really cool with my first call with Trevor and Jenny too, is like, you don't necessarily like need to hear that from someone, but it is kind of cool to feel like, I feel like they very much did their research on like what my PBs were and what I had run. And you know, I'd even talk to Jared about this, like in 2024 at the US Olympic trials, we did the 5K and the 15, and I feel like we were not really focused on the 15 and just happened to be like a really good race that we were in. Like that final was super fast and ran 3:57. And so I feel like kind of, I just had so much fun at the trials doing those three rounds. And I feel like to kind of surprise myself a little bit by running 3:57 there when we like weren't really focusing on that, I feel like, okay, I feel like there's like quite a bit of like untapped potential still there. And like I said, just, I think just the like excitement and fun that I have around racing that too. Yeah, and I've said this to a couple people, but I told Trevor and Jenny this, like, I know it doesn't matter, like I'm not an 800 runner, but I've run two flat several times, and that's something that's like very important to me in my career, is to go under two. I don't really care what my 800 PR is, but like, and so many people have told me like, Elise, that doesn't matter, and I know it doesn't matter, but that's something that like I really want before my career ends is to go under two. So yeah, that's also
that is fair enough. Yeah, that is definitely a barrier that needs crashing through. But the women's 1500 is one of those events which the last 4 years has just, you know, just dropped heavily.
Yeah.
And you know, have you got any ideas why that is? And is that another reason why you're a little bit more inspired? You're like, oh, actually, you know, to get down into low 350s would be exciting.
Yeah. I mean, I do think that's a big part of it too. Like, I do think I was like feeling like, man, people are running so fast in the 15. I mean, people are running so fast in the 5K too.
Everything,
but
yeah.
Just to be like, to think about that too, I think this is so silly, but I think like in my, when I just went home for Christmas in my like childhood bedroom, I have like this vision board that I made when I was like in high school, and I had on there like that I wanted to run 3:51. And so it's just like, it's funny now to think like, wow, like at least so many years ago. And so I think it, you know, I think it started with, you know, when Jess Hull, like watching her just, I don't remember exactly what race it was, but when she just decided like, I'm just going to stick on faith. And then, you know, seeing what Georgia did in Paris, and then even seeing what like Nikki or a lot of the Americans are doing, just running like so much depth and running like 3:55, 3:56 is, yeah, I think like that excites me to want to like want to try to go like 353 or 354. So yeah.
And I guess another advantage of the group and potentially one of the reasons why you joined is that championship experience that Trevor and Jenny have.
Yeah.
Have you talked to them about that yet? Or because, you know, for yourself, do you have any, not regrets, but do you look at some of the championships that you've been a part of, those finals? What's your highest position? Is it global? Is it seventh, sixth, seventh?
Ninth.
So do you look at it and you're like, I know I can do, like, I could have done better. You know, I could have placed higher in
for
this race.
For sure. For sure. And I think, you know, I think that's why, like, I also feel like I needed a change. And like, that's something that we talked about that first Zoom call too, is, which is like very interesting. Like, I just think, you know, even how, the 15 has changed, but like how I feel like the 5K and 10K have changed, like at the championship level too, is just like, I think for a while, like with Jerry, he was like, you just need to get stronger so you can be there the last like 600 or a K. But I feel like at this point, it's like, yes, you have to have the strength to get there. But I'm like, most of the time, I'm making it to like a K to go, but it's like you have to be able to close in 240 for the last K, and then you have to be able to close in 58 and like 27. And so I do feel like that's something that like I think about too, is like being a part of this group is, you know, is you want to think like, okay, what event do I want to focus on? And I think a lot of people are like, well, like you're a 5K, 10K runner, like this is a totally different, you know, like group. But if I look at like my global finishes, you know, and it's like you said, I feel like I've been quite like stagnant. I've been like 9th through 12th every single year for the last,
wow,
you know, 4 or 5 years. And so that too is like, yeah, it's been like quite defeating to feel like, man, yeah, like, and it's like I do feel like, you know, it's hard too to feel like I've changed groups and I've made changes, you know. And so it's like it feels like, okay, I wasn't doing the exact same thing every single year. I actually was making changes and I still feel like I was getting the same result. And so I think that's been fun about joining this group is, yeah, like regardless of any event, it just feels like it's really exposing what my weaknesses as an athlete are, which is like quite a scary thing when like it's not the most fun to like come to terms with. And you're like, wow, I didn't realize I was just like really bad at these like super, super high like lactic producing workouts. But I also think there's like a really exciting, like the other side of that coin, right, is like that there's huge opportunity there. And so to your point about the global finals, is like I feel like no matter what distance I do, is like that's what's missing, right, is like that last 600, last K, being able to kick with anyone on the global stage. And so I feel like that's something that I'm for sure getting a taste of here.
Absolutely. I mean, I do want to discuss your sort of current routine, I guess, in training and stuff. But I think, you know, track and field or distance running especially is a rare sport where the athlete has so much ownership over their career. You know, you talk about all those decisions on this podcast. You've spoken about so many decisions that you've made during your career. And do you have anyone else in your corner that you bounce off when you make these decisions? Or you've just kind of been, yeah, always reviewing yourself post a championship, being like, right, what do I need to do next? And I just can't think of many sports that operate in that way. You know, so many sports, you know, there's a manager, there's an agent, they make all the decisions for you, just kind of turn up and do your thing. But running is difficult for that. It's just this constant back and forth in your own head.
Yeah, that's so true. And it's funny because it's like, again, I think there's like a good part to that and like a not so good part. Like in some ways, I think it's good because you can like feel really empowered and you can take that ownership. But I do think to your point, sometimes like, which I'm trying to like move past, but I think sometimes it's easy for me to get stuck in the past or like have certain regret or think like, oh, I should have done this differently or that. And it's like, so that's, you know, I don't know, you kind of have to just think like, okay, I have to go forward and take ownership over this. But I think that's also something that's like inspired me to like make some big changes or big decisions, is that point of like, I want to try to reach my potential and I don't want to finish my career with any regret. And so like trying new things and changing it up and seeing if it works, like, and it is crazy when you say that too. I think the really interesting thing about running is also like, sometimes you make a change and like we've talked about, like the consistency is so important. So sometimes you can't even know if something's like working for a little bit. So it almost feels like there is like a trial and error period, unfortunately, with like with different, you know, it's just, it's like, you don't necessarily know how something's working. Like, you can't just be like, I'm going to try this for like a week or two and see how it goes. It's like, that's just not how, that's not how running works.
No.
But yeah, I'm like very, very grateful for, like, I'm very close with my parents. I have two sisters. I have a lot of like really, really good friends and family and supporters in my corner. And I'm really close with one of my first coaches from high school. He was a professional runner himself. And so he's someone that I just feel like knows me really well. And same with my college coach and sports psych that I've been working with for the last like 4 years. So I think all of those people that like really know me really well. And yeah, I think, you know, I think a lot of the decisions and changes also came from, which again, this like sounds a little bit cliche, but like came from like what is going to like make me like a happier, better version of myself. And like, I know for me that like I'm going to train better if that's the case. So I know that like when I left Bowerman and I moved back to Colorado where my family was, like, I was like, that was a really important like decision for me outside of just like training, but like, okay, this is like, I just felt like the sport wasn't, the way I was doing it wasn't sustainable anymore. And like, similar to, you know, when I loved being close to my family and being in Colorado and loved working with Jared, who, you know, I know really well, but felt like, okay, like for me to continue to find like joy and like passion in this sport, like I need to be part of a team. And so I think that's like really important too, if people are thinking about, you know, like making a change or like they're just maybe not finding the same joy in running is, yeah, like I, that's just like what I said to my parents, you know, this year before joining M11 is like, yes, I like want to go there and become a way better athlete. And I really want to set PBs and I have a lot of like big lofty goals, but at the end of the day, it's like it, the main reason also that I'm making a change is like, it just wasn't fun anymore. And I was so like, you know, burnt out by the end after the world champs in Tokyo and feeling like I really wanted to be part of a group. And it's like, that's like even more motivation for me than just like wanting to perform better, which is really important. But knowing that like, it's not even, it doesn't even matter if you're going to perform better, if you're just like miserable and you don't want to do the sport anymore, you know, it's like, that's not going to get you very far.
So true. It's so true. Yeah, because you know, you went full circle. You went to turning up at majors, part of like probably the most famous group in the world at one point, to then turning up at majors with just you and Jared, and potentially Jared, you know, wasn't even there with college commitments and stuff, and just having to go through that whole championship experience probably on your own.
Yeah, it's quite a bit different, which I think, you know, in some ways, like you were saying earlier, in some ways it's cool to look at it and be like, okay, like the good part of being like 9th through 12th is like, okay, I was consistent with a lot of different situations, but also thinking like, yeah, I mean, I was with Mike Smith's like crew before Tokyo. We were in like Hawaii training before the world champs. And so, cause Jared had college commitments. And so, I think that's when it like really hit me. And I talked to Jared about that, of like really wanting a team. Cause it just felt, especially before those championships and like being at championships, I think is sometimes the time when it's like exposed the most, because you're just like, you know, you're, everyone's like, you're vulnerable, you're nervous, you're trying to like peak, and you feel like, man, I'm doing this like kind of by myself. And so I feel like that's when, yeah, it is like that, those are the, like, I mean, when I think back even to Tokyo Olympics, and it's like no one was there with COVID, but like Carissa and I like were roommates, and we were both in the 5K together and warming up. And it's like just having someone that like you're on the same mission together. That's, you know, that's what I've said before too. I've had some like, I had some really great like friends and my partner helped pace me and everything over the last year and a half. And like, I did feel like I had community, but as like wonderful as that is, it is so different to actually have a team of people that are trying to do the exact same thing of you. There's just like a different energy with that.
Yeah. No, and you can just see the success in the sport that comes out of these groups, you know, yourselves at M11, and then you've got, you know, the other end of the spectrum, which is like Kipchoge's group and that setup, you know, and it's clear that groups, you know, they work. And Swoosh TC, which you might have been tempted to join, I don't know, is obviously up and running now. But here, I've made the listeners wait this long. Can you tell us about the routine that you've currently got with M11? You know, where's the mileage at? What can you disclose? What does your Monday to Sunday look like?
Yeah, I would say, I guess the biggest changes, like I said, are like quite a bit more cross training. So I'm cross training about 3 days a week. My mileage is quite a bit lower than it was before. I would say, you know, it used to be probably like for a lot of years between, you know, 80 and 90. And now it's probably closer to like 60 to 65, but the intensity is quite a bit higher. So, yeah. And I would say the biggest change is, is like more intensity and kind of touching on that intensity earlier in the season, which I'm like excited for too, though, because I think it like allows you a place to build and grow off of versus I feel like kind of in my older programs, there was like so much emphasis on the aerobic piece that I feel like you'd start doing faster stuff maybe in April and May, but it's like you can only build so much if like you're just introducing it then. So I'm quite excited to be able to build off of that. And then Sundays are a rest day, which I'm also not used to having a full day off. And I remember talking to Trevor and Jenny before, and they were like, yeah, some people join the group and they were like, maybe I'll just do like a short, easy run on Sunday. And I was like, that will probably be me, like a 40 minute run on Sunday or something. And now I like with the difference in intensity and I'm like, yeah. So I very much look forward to my day off. And then gym twice a week, and then usually like circuit once a week, and then some core like once to twice a week. And so kind of like I said, I think in some ways it's exciting too, because I just feel like I'm becoming like a more well-rounded athlete, which is cool too. Like that's even something that I've been quite inspired by and has like surprised me with people on the team, as just like everyone is just like very, very like athletic, and their like box jumps and their ability to like lift heavy. And like I said, people cycling and people swimming and people doing the cross trainer and the circuits that are done. And so, yeah.
No, it looks like a really fun group. I got to admit from the outside, you know, you're ticking every box. So no, that's an interesting study to your week. I mean, have you got any races? What's your goals for the indoor season? It's an off year for you. You know, being American, you're going to have the whole group getting ready for Europeans and you're going to feel left out.
I know. I'm already feeling that way. I was just talking to George about that the other day, and I was like, man, like, I feel like there's so many people that have Europeans and Commonwealth this year, and they're like, yeah, so many championships. But yeah, I've never done USA or World Indoors, and so I'm going to see how things are going, but I think I'm going to try to do, like, one or two indoor races in Europe and see where I'm at. And then if we feel like we're in a good spot, then I would love to go over to the U.S. to do USA indoor nationals and try to make the world team if things are going well, because I really do like indoors, and I feel like I either haven't run indoors, or I feel like, you know, with Jerry we were using it to like build for like the 10K outdoors, so we would just do like one or two like pretty well-paced setup races instead of kind of just like going to race. So that would be fun to kind of do something different, maybe do like a 3K and a 1500. But yeah, hopefully we're in a good spot and cool. We can do USAs. That would be fun.
Very cool. And then just finally, World Cross Country, I won't ask you to predict, you know, who's gonna place where, but as a professional, do you miss cross country? You know, it's obviously a large part of your high school and college career, and you know, is there a part of you that potentially might have wanted to do World Cross? Obviously, you know, joining a new group, it hasn't worked out, but do you miss cross country as a professional?
Yeah, definitely a little bit. I would say more so like, I'm like, the relay looks so fun. Even Ava Lloyd did the like European cross country, the relay, and they got bronze. And so I feel like watching that, and like, I'm excited to watch the world relays too. But I'm excited to watch cross country. I feel like I'm not like particularly feeling like sad about not doing a 10K, but it'll be fun. It'll be fun. I do miss like the team aspect of cross country, and that's what I was saying. I was like, I think I was talking to Georgia about that, or we were having a conversation of just like, oh, I wish there were more opportunities for like DMRs or relay, like distance relays, indoor or outdoor, because like I feel like that would give me my like cross country fix. But no, I think I'm excited to watch it. I think we'll have like a little watch party here on Saturday, so definitely, it'll be fun to see. But I don't necessarily feel super sad that I'm not running a 10K.
Well, at least it's been an absolute pleasure, and thank you very much for your time. I'll let you get back to all of those cross training sessions and circuits that you have to go and do. So, but yeah, thank you very much, and best of luck for the 2026 campaign.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks so much for having me on. This has been fun. So, thank you.
Brilliant.